Universities in the debit card business. Convenient and controversial.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM in New York, I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update. Hundreds of colleges offer school-sponsored debit or prepaid cards, and most allow students to get their financial aid money loaded onto those cards. But the card's fees and rules have them facing new criticism in a hearing in Washington this week. Kate Davidson reports.
Many schools and card providers see them as an efficient way to get funds to students. But the Government Accountability Office raised concerns in a report last week. The GAO's Alicia Puente-Cackley says students receiving federal aid must have convenient access to ATMs that don't charge fees.
What it means to be convenient access is not very well defined by the Department of Education, and in different places, you saw very different numbers of fee-free ATMs that were available to students.
The report also found two large providers charge students for using their cards as debit cards, swiping and entering a PIN. Christine Lindstrom is with U.S. PIRG.
These cards are called debit cards, yet if you use it as a debit card and use your four-digit PIN, you will incur a 50-cent per transaction fee for doing that.
She says the debit fee is unusual, catching students unaware. Lindstrom is on the Department of Education panel looking into new rules for college debit cards this week. I'm Kate Davidson for Marketplace.
The American startup Uber has made a big splash here, making it easier to get a ride. But in China, things are trickier for the company because there's a lot more competition. Marketplace China Bureau Chief Rob Schmitz reports on how it's doing.
Here's one reason why Uber works in the U.S. market.
If you're in San Francisco, you can't hail a taxi easily. But in the U.S., you can just take your phone, click a button, and then somebody will come in 5 minutes.
Sean Ryan, author of The End of Cheap China, says there are many reasons Uber may not work very well in China. For one,
in China, it's pretty easy to get a taxi.
And a cab ride in China usually costs a few dollars. And if you're stranded in Shanghai without a ride, you can use one of many Chinese driver booking service apps that'll help you find one.
There's a lot of Chinese companies that have been backed by large technology firms that are going to create a very competitive environment. So it's not going to be quite as easy for them.
Uber says an emphasis on safety will make it stand out among the competition. It'll ensure its drivers will ride slow and steady, a rarity in a country where a cab ride can sometimes feel like a combination of NASCAR and a game of chicken. But after 6 months in China, Uber's been forced to reduce its prices. A sign says, Ryan, that it's already beginning to falter. In Shanghai, I'm Rob Schmitz for Marketplace.
Global poaching is soaring, driven largely by demand from Asia. Rhino horn can fetch tens of thousands of dollars a pound. Kenyan land is a favorite target for poachers. BBC correspondent Mark Lowen reports from the front lines of the battle to stop them.
Dawn over Tsavo National Park in southeast Kenya, and the peace and quiet is broken. The first of a dozen small planes start up, gathered for an aerial census of the elephant population. It's a vital tool to gauge a critical problem, poaching. 30 years ago, Kenya had 167,000 elephants. Now, just over 30,000 remain. A soaring ivory trade led by China means an elephant is killed in Africa every 15 minutes. On the ground, we saw the everyday reality of poaching. A small vet team led by Jeremiah Pogon hears of a newly targeted elephant. He is a huge bull with prized tusks, hit for the fourth time and now full of deep wounds. One of the team shoots an anaesthetic dart into the bull to give them time to treat him. After treatment, he has to be pulled up by a tractor. 2 more weeks and he'd be dead. And so he's given another lease of life, until, that is, the poachers strike again. It is a crime that Dame Daphne Sheldrick knows all too well. One of the world's most renowned elephant experts, her sanctuary in Nairobi looks after orphaned elephants.
In this day and age, it's an indictment on mankind. And the key to it all is not here. It lies in China. As long as there's a demand for ivory, then elephants are going to be killed in Africa.
A rich, growing China is hungry for ivory. Kenya is trying to fight back, with higher fines than ever for smugglers and new anti-poaching technology being tested, like drones. Many activists are pushing for a global ivory ban, hard to enforce. And so an annual trade worth £12 billion, $19 billion, goes on. And this precious species faces a critical threat to its very existence.
The BBC's Mark Lowen in Kenya. And finally, the maker of the wildly popular mobile game Candy Crush is now filing to raise $500 million in an IPO. King Digital Entertainment makes a lot of money off that game, but it'll have to persuade investors that it can thrive, even if players get tired of matching up sweets. Our producers are Justin Ho, Katie Long, and Meg Kramer. I'm Mark Garrison with the Marketplace Midday Update. This is APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.